Well, we're back. Jessica, welcome back once again.
Thank you, thank you.
To our Sharing the Burden, and we're live, folks, every week, 10 a.m., 102.9 FM here in Stouffville. And one of the important things to make a program like this work is some people have to know about it, and the way to learn about it is to attend meetings on the outside. Everything we do is not only in jails. We train people on the outside. We know there's a lot of hurting people on the outside, and we want to help them as much as we want to help the fellows and the ladies in jail. So, you know, if you can think of a place, and we probably already have a place, if you can think of a person or two who could use something like this, who could use the power of sharing to get their stories out there and make a difference in other lives, then you need to find me, Scott, two T's, at sharingtheburden.ca. And we'll get you going. I promise we won't abandon you or leave you messed up out there on trying to figure out how to handle people who are possibly addicted to substances and lots of other different problems in their lives. Jessica, one of the things that come up a lot, and you've zoomed in on it, is forgiveness. How do we forgive? Who do we forgive? How do we start? You know, again, do I base it on feelings or do I go with the wisdom of decision? You know, what do I do? What did you do? How did you get to that place? You know, and you can tell a little bit of your story at the same time, if you like, where after the way you'd been treated, you knew forgiveness was an answer to something. So I'll let you go with that a little.
Sure. So, as a rewind a little bit, when I was 15, obviously I got into the gangs. Mm-hmm. At 16, I was gang raped by a number of guys in the gangs. Mm-hmm. And never told anyone about that except for one of my high school teachers that I trusted him the most. And his jaw just dropped. I thought, was it really that bad? But he went and got some help for me. And then at 17, I met a guy who I didn't know at the time was a gang leader until I was with him. And yes, I take responsibility for knowing that I was with a gang leader for the years to come. And at 18, him and I got married. I was 18. He was a little bit older than me, and we got married in prison out in Alberta, actually. And it was abusive. So all kinds of abuse that you can think of, emotional, mental, physical, financial. And that continued onwards. He put his hands on me 5 times. And then in 2010, he actually tried to kill me when our 3 kids were asleep upstairs. And that was a big turning point for me. And, you know, going back and forth with the abuser, abusee situation, you know what it's like to, you know, they apologize, you come back. And that happened because even when he was sitting in prison, I was secretly visiting him, and I was going to recant my statement and say, you know what, I'm just going to lie about the whole thing and get you out of prison. He was absolutely livid. He said, I can't believe it was you that put me here. You know, and in hindsight, it's really him that put himself there. However, I finally confessed to my legal team, and, you know, I remember almost midnight sitting in their office in Toronto, and they said, you what? Like, Jessica, if you want us to represent you, you cannot go see him anymore. And I was very fortunate at the time. You know, we have these angels in disguises. I believe in angels. And at the time, I was working for someone who, I was a personal caregiver at the time. And this guy had hired me, and his mom had Alzheimer's. So she needed a lot of care and was progressing quite fast. And so I found out later that they were very well-to-do. She had won the lottery, and he said, I'm going to hire the best team for you in the city. You can pay me back when you become a millionaire. And it was really hard for me to accept his money. I was ready to go back to my marriage, my abusive marriage, rather than take his $5,000 to retain a legal team. And I remember sitting on the phone with my mom, and I said, you know, I just can't take his money. And he goes, okay, well, what if I give you $2,500 and you just take the other $2,500? I said, you know what? This is ridiculous, Jessica. You know, and at the time I didn't have friends to talk to. So I was kind of my own self-therapist and, you know, figuring out what to do. And I said, you know what, Jessica, this is ridiculous. Just get the money. You can pay him back later. And I say that he was an angel in disguise because I don't know that I would have left the marriage on my own if it wasn't for that, you know, just financially being able to afford a legal team to help me. And I want to make it clear that it wasn't about the justice for me. It wasn't about retribution. It wasn't that I wanted him to spend 20 years in prison. For me, I was fearful of my life, and I didn't know if he would come back for myself and my children. And so jail was a way for me to keep that distance, that physical distance from him. And when I was healing, you know, the prosecutor told me, she said, if this was the States, he would be in there for a lifetime. But because it's Canada, he's got this 2-for-1 deal before they changed the rule, and he's going to get out soon. So when I was in hiding, you know, I had a friend, and I wasn't into spirituality at the time. You know, at the end of the day, we're all spiritual beings. But you could tell me all this, you know, even angel stuff, and I wouldn't have believed you. And I had this very spiritual friend, this energy worker, body worker, and she told me, Jess, you just need to trust. And I said, what do you mean trust? You don't know who this guy is. He's going to get out of jail. He's going to come, you know, finish the job. And she's like, you just need to trust. So I thought she was crazy, and I walked away from that. And, you know, I'm sitting in my, I had started a business. I flew down to New York, got trained as a raw food chef, came back, started my own business. And I was sitting in the basement, and I was working on some things, you know, growing my business. My kids are around. I'm raising them as a single mom at the time. And I thought, you know what? He's going to get out of jail soon. If I run now, I'm going to be running for the rest of my life. This could be one of the worst mistakes I'm ever going to make, but I can't run. I can't run. Mm-hmm. That conversation came up about trusting again, trusting in a higher force mm-hmm. that's beyond me, that's beyond us. And I told his lawyers, okay, that's fine. He can talk to the kids. But before that, the day he actually got out, I had to find it within myself to forgive not just him, but I had to forgive myself first. And that was not an overnight process. I won't go into all the logistics of, you know, where, you know, because it's taken time to get to this where I am now. But I had to forgive myself first for, you know, I felt dirty. I felt shameful, mm-hmm. you know, from being raped years ago, for what happened, for the pain that I caused my family. And when he came out, I got to forgive him in person. And we went out and we were sitting just how we are right now. And, mm-hmm. you know, I told him, I said, I forgive you. And he was surprised, but he wasn't surprised. And he goes, wow, sweetheart, you know, I really admire where you're at right now. And maybe one day you can help me do the same. And I knew he wanted to change, because for a long time, even though he was a gang leader and this feared guy, you know, splashed throughout the news, he was Canada-wide warrant. Deep down, I knew who he was as a person, and he wasn't the monster that was portrayed in the media, even to the guys that he was around. And so I had compassion for how he grew up. You know, we talked about earlier about how some of these guys and women grow up, and he grew up in an environment where he went from foster home to foster home. His dad was absent. The only time his dad came back in his life was to ask him to drug deal for him. And, you know, his mom raised them on welfare, and he started a life of crime at the age of 12. And so he ended up passing away suddenly. We did not expect it because he wasn't sick. He died suddenly in 2014, and his dad found him dead on the sofa. They thought it was a heart attack originally. However, when they did a toxicology report, it was a fentanyl overdose. So the fentanyl was laced in the sleeping pills that he had taken. So that was a big shock to us. However, you know, speaking about forgiveness, when I went back to Edmonton, because that's where he died, and I did the eulogy and everything. Whoa. When I was there, I was happy that I got to forgive him before he passed. I also had a room full of these gangsters, if we call them, show up at the funeral. And that day, so the day before, actually, the day before the funeral, I got to forgive one of the guys who he had held up a gun to me when I was younger for not having sex with him. Mm-hmm. He was there. I got to forgive him. And then the day of the funeral, after we were done the services, I forgave the guy who instigated the gang rape. So there was a lot of closure for me in forgiving. And when I said, told them that I forgave them, I 100% meant it, zero resentment. And forgiveness is so freeing. A lot of people hold on to this anger and bitterness and resentment, you know, my life is like this, or this happened to me, or that person did that to me. And there's so much hurt that people hang on to into the well into their older years and even till the day they die. And it really, it eats you up like a disease in the body. And so I think it's so important to free ourselves through forgiveness, because that person, whoever you think has done wrong to you, if you look at them as someone that's been sent by the light, by God, to teach you a lesson, you can't get mad at that person. They're there as a messenger of light, and there's a lesson for you to learn there. And really, our gift is in our pain.
Yeah. I agree totally. And, you know, and that's very powerful. Thanks for having the guts and the courage and everything else to tell that, not only here, but everywhere you go. And your story is so, like so many ladies I listen to in the jail out there, that incredible. And it often starts with a gang rape type thing too, and you know, and quickly buried and put aside and then become tough and all these other things.
Yes.
And another thing you did that I think is very powerful is you separated the man, you know, the perpetrator, the fellow who stabbed you and so on, if you will. You separated him from his behavior in your head, you know, and that allowed you to know again, like in my world, it would be, well, God created that guy and he loves that guy as much as he loves me, even though he allowed that guy to stick a knife in my head, sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, he loves him and he loves me, and there's a reason that guy was created. Somehow, I've been given the wisdom. I believe wisdom comes from God. Knowledge is something us people kind of put together. And, you know, you got the wisdom to know that that was the answer.
Yes.
That not only by forgiving him would it be a great asset to you, but you probably knew or were learning then that the forgivee, the person I'm forgiving, is actually changed by my act of forgiveness.
Right.
And you see that. And you see that fellow probably going to his grave in a different way than you saw him, obviously, when he was running the gang and you were part of it. So, you know, he's just a person to be loved, to be prayed for, to be cherished in every way, regardless. And and if you can do that in the jails, you got it made. And that is the thing. And they'll come looking for you, but it won't be to hurt you. After, it'll be to get more of what it is that allows you to love them who no one else wants to talk to. So.
Yep. And that's the thing. When you reveal light for yourself, you're able to reveal light for other people.
Yeah.
Mass consciousness. And I believe that, you know, those of us that have gone through the dark have the most light to reveal. And so that's why I have such a passion. One of the reasons why I have such a passion to go into the jails and work with ex-convicts and inmates, because they've gone through so much and they have so much light to reveal. But yet society shuns them and doesn't want to give them another chance or even look at them.
They're afraid of them, and really afraid of them.
Yes.
In so many cases, I wish that the system would allow people like me to just bring anyone in with the wrong attitude and listen to the hearts of these guys that committed these things, who they will probably never even know what they committed, but who've done terrible things and often murder, and yet they're not bad people.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, that's hard to, and I'm sure many people are going to say, what are you talking about? They're not bad people. They did bad things, but that's their behavior. You've got to separate that from that creation.
Yeah. You know? Well, there's a lot of judgment in our society, right, of what's good and what's bad. And I don't believe that there's such thing as good and bad. And, you know, talking about our creator, God, universe, light, whatever you want to call it, that's, we are created out of light and love. So I'm no different than the person sitting in jail that's committed 20 murders, you know. Yeah, their actions, and they got caught for that, but they're no worse of a person.
No, no. As a matter of fact, one of the ladies I spent time with had, you know, and probably known who she is, but she killed many senior citizens, at least 8, maybe 10, maybe more. And I spent time with that lady, and when I looked into her eyes, you know, deep enough, it wasn't much different than looking into your eyes right now. And I tried to explain that to people, and how this lady was able to say to me, she says, Scott, you know, if you believe, and this is a heavy believer, this lady, believe it or not, says, if you really believe that your God or whatever runs this whole show wants you to do something, and you believe with all your heart in that entity, will you do it or not? And in my case, she would say, well, so if you think God said, and she didn't talk murders, nothing like that, but she says, if you really believe in your deepest part of your soul that what you're being told is the right thing, is, won't you do it? I mean, how do you answer that? Mm-hmm. How can you honestly answer that? And just, you know, most would just say, oh, of course not. I mean, I'm not, even if I'm, you know, a Christian or an atheist or a Buddhist or whatever I am, it doesn't matter. You know, we're just, thou shalt not kill or whatever. We just can't do that. And I know that. But I also know addicts never woke up one morning and decided I'm going to become an addict,
right?
And get to a place where I can't stop doing this thing. So,
yeah,
you know, it's incredible. And one of the things too, it's, you know, I was going to say, does forgiveness change the forgivee or the person you're forgiving? But I think you'll agree that it does. It you can see it in their faces.
Oh, totally. You know? Totally. You know, even so, the guy that I went back to, I mean, both guys, but the guy that instigated the rape, he is known as, he's also a gang leader, and he walks around with bodyguards. And I actually had to, quote unquote, request a meeting with him before I could see him. And again, it's one of those moments like, this could be the worst thing ever. And I wasn't sure how he would react, but I could see this, like, almost like a light in his eyes, like, what? Like, there was something that softened about him after I expressed what I did.
Yeah. Do you think people like yourself are somehow chosen to be who you are, and that your gift of understanding forgiveness and being able to explain that to other people is something you've more or less been chosen to do? I mean, I know you've directed your own life like that, but you believe in a higher source, whatever that happens to be. What's your take on that?
I'm not sure if I would use the word chosen. Mm-hmm. I believe that, as I was saying earlier, as a soul, we come onto this physical plane to learn our lessons. Mm-hmm. And not everybody consciously wants to or knows how to learn mm-hmm. those lessons and overcome the dark. And so I was able to find this gift of forgiveness and now pass it on. But I don't know what it would be like if I didn't discover it, and, you know, being so-called the chosen one, like, did I fail then at the end of the day? You know, so I don't know about the word chosen. However, I know my soul, it knows exactly what it's doing, what it's here to learn. And, you know, it knows far beyond what we consciously know, right? So I believe that it knew that I would find the gift in all of this and share it as much as I can. I knew that when, you know, my husband tried to kill me a number of ways. Like, he beat me, he choked me unconscious, he stabbed me. And I just knew at the moment, even though I was bloodied, bruised, everything, I said, when I heal, I'm going to give back to the world. I don't know how, but I know I'm going to give back.
Yeah.
It was just a deep, deep knowing. Because I'm standing here after. So the last thing he did was stab me, and he was wearing a rosary. And as you know, you don't wear rosaries, but his was, you know, decked out in diamonds, and it had broke. It snapped on the floor. Mm-hmm. That's when he stopped stabbing me. And that's where he was like, what am I doing? What the F am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, and I keep that piece and I share it in my talks that I do, because I don't know that I would be here if it didn't break at that moment. So I believe that it was divine intervention that I'm even here sitting talking to you.
Yeah. But that's so symbolic. The chain was broken.
Yes.
Right there and then, you know, and that's beautiful. That's wonderful. With that wonderful thought, folks, we're going to take another quick break here before we move on toward the end of the show. So, Jay, what are you going to do for us? You got a song or something?
Yeah, I sure do, Scott. And speaking of forgiveness, that seems to be one of the themes for the show. Here is Alanis Morissette with a song called Forgiven. And we'll be back here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.
Catholic girls can be my darkest deeds to an envious man.